Oh my God, Stuart, I met the woman of your dreams the other night.
Oh well, let's digress.
Let's carry on. Let's forget the podcast. Go on.
Honestly, she was amazing. I completely fell in love with her. Problem is, she did have a boyfriend, I think it was. But I went out for dinner on Friday night with my friend.
Yeah.
And this couple sat down next to us, and they were both really, really nice, and she was incredible. She was fairly short and, like, a good bod, and she had this really curly platinum blonde hair that was just perfect.
Right.
Like a myth.
What makes you think she's my type? Because, you know, I go for a bit of crazy, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't worry.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember how it was that we started talking, but she was... I ended up saying, oh, my God, you're literally, like, a hair rock goddess.
Ah.
She, like, used to hang around with Twisted Sister when they were doing, like, all their first... Like, when they were first starting out and stuff. And she was going on about how she was partying with Tommy Lee and Vince Neil and all this, and I was just like, "That
God, she sounds amazing."
You are literally.
So you're over in Miami for another 2 weeks, aren't you? So there is still time for you to come over, right?
She's amazing. Her name's Melissa. She's my new bestie. I'm straight girl crush.
Well, we might swap over. She and Carly might come back. You might fly out. It might be me and Carly hosting this in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
I'll leave the front door key under the bin. You can let yourself in.
I've got mine. I found it the other day.
Hooray!
Key!
Anyway, so apparently this podcast is about comics, not about setting me up with red-hot American rock goddesses.
Hair rock goddesses, yeah.
Although I think there's a niche there we could explore.
Well, maybe. Well, let's start the podcast from now. cut all that stuff that went before. Welcome, everyone, to episode 24 of the BAM Comic Podcast. 24 episodes, 2 calendar years, even though it's not that succinct. Welcome. I'm your boy, Neil, and as always, I am joined by Stu. Say hello, Stu.
Hello.
And joining us live from Miami Beach is...
For the last time.
For potentially the last time. No, she's still going to be on the podcast.
All right.
Yeah. Joining us from the BAM Towers in Miami is Carly.
Hello.
She's not feeling
it. I'm looking forward to when I don't have to do that anymore.
I'm going to insist that you do it when you're back. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 24. Stu, tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
It's going to be a podcast of two halves.
Ooh.
So the first half...
Right.
Well, basically, the main thing is going to be the stuff you love, which is about movies, comic book movies.
Oh. So
if you moan into your cup of tea.
Yeah.
So the first movie we're going to talk about, we've all seen.
Right.
Which is your man, Logan.
Right.
Yeah.
And the second movie...
Can I just point out that Carly just fanned herself?
I know, yeah.
Did I?
Yes, you actually went, ooh.
Oh,
yes,
see, you just did it again. Is that your trigger word? Logan. There you go. It works.
So yeah, this is going to be a spicy one, folks.
Buckle up. A spicy first half.
Right.
And we're going to be kid-friendly for the second half, which one we'll talk about, Lego Batman, which out of us three, I'm the only one who's seen it.
Which is... Yeah, unthinkable.
Yeah.
I can't believe there's a Lego Batman movie out and I haven't seen it.
So we're roping in our sort of regular guest.
Semi-regular.
Mark, he's back for his third appearance, I think.
I think you'll just like being referred to as our semi, to be honest. Yeah. But
return of our semi, Mark. Yeah. So he's seen it.
Right.
And more importantly, he has a child who he has taken to see as well.
Right.
So we're going to get his take on it. We're going to hear Lucas's take on Lego Batman.
Sweet.
Which I haven't heard yet.
Right.
So, bearing in mind, I think he's about 6, so... I'm not expecting, like, Mark mode levels of review skills.
If we miss out on the podcast awards because he brings the quality down...
Exactly.
Livid. I'll beat him up after school.
Well, if he brings the quality up, we can engage in some child labour.
That's true.
I'm not adverse to that, you know. That's what our country was built on.
BAM Comic Podcast. Not adverse to child labour.
Exactly.
Anyway.
New catchphrase.
Yeah.
You can put that on T-shirts. Speaking of which, of course, one thing we haven't spoken about, because I think they were done after the last one, we've got our little caricatures now. We have a new logo and our caricatures, which I think are quite cool.
Yeah. Who did them?
A guy called Oyan Arvik, which I probably pronounced wrong. But you can find him on Twitter.
Right.
Under Teutrons, which is T-E-U-T-R-O-N-Z.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like illustrator and character artist. He's done some stuff before for some like games, websites and the like. But no, he's done a really good caricature of us, I think.
He's made me look super hench, so yeah, he gets my vote.
You're kind of Hulk. Like, yeah. Carly's got a kind of Buffy, a flying Buffy vibe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, kind of like a Captain Britain thing. Although someone called me Captain Brexit, which I was mortally offended by.
Which is amazing.
Nah, it's terrible. It's terrible. mine's out of date, though. Because mine's got glasses.
Oh, yeah.
So currently recovering from the laser eye surgery.
You've got laser eyes now.
Yeah. So you're like in sharp focus right now, Neil. You're like dazzling high def.
Sorry, my apologies.
Carly's slightly distant. She's got like a kind of Vaseline haze going on. So
that's good for me.
Yeah. She is 5,000 miles away, to be fair.
So. But I can still see this blonde high hair striking as well.
Powerful blonde hair.
Totally ruined the caricature, didn't I?
You have. But I think you're coming back just in time before you become, even more Miami than you already are.
Well, here we are.
But anyway, we digress. So we've got our own characters, got a new logo.
Yeah.
We have our own identity.
Yes, we do.
Exactly.
And so on you go. No, on you go. I was going to say, so yeah.
I was going to sort of go, it's a few things that have happened since the last podcast we've done that I don't know if you guys are kind of aware of. I thought we could just like have a quick chat about.
All right.
So there's a couple of new comic-related TV shows in production right now.
Is there?
There's The Inhumans. Which was supposed to be a Marvel movie. It's supposed to be part of like Phase 4, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's been dropped now in favour of a new TV series,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to debut on IMAX in America. I don't know if it's going to debut over here on IMAX over here as well. But it's based on the original Inhumans characters by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Because mm-hmm.
The Inhumans have appeared in the god-awful Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series. but it hasn't been like what they call the Royal Family.
Right.
But the Royal Family of Inhumans are going to be in this show.
Okay.
And the most exciting thing about this is they're actually going to have a character called Lockjaw, who you may have seen in some comics before. Basically, he's this giant, like, bulldog.
Right.
Like huge bulldog who can teleport.
Fourteen bulldog?
Yeah. But it's like a giant, like...
Like bulldog man, or just a big...
It's a big bulldog. But we're talking like giant size, huge.
Okay.
He's an iconic Marvel character. He's got like a real cool visual.
Right.
I remember reading about him in the 80s, and he's mute. Obviously, he's not a talking dog. He's mute. But one of the twists in the 80s.
But they're keeping it realistic then.
Keeping it realistic. But one of the twists were in the 80s. He was kind of like teamed up with the Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where like Lockjaw actually talks, and it's like, well, I didn't know you could talk. So. But yeah, I can't remember what it was. I remember like being like, that's really cool. But so they're filming now in Canada, I believe. And so you've got the guy who's playing Black Bolt and Medusa, all these characters. And then there's a scene where they're on the street and you've got like a foam-shaped bulldog, blue, which obviously they're using as a kind of stand-in for the special effects. So I'm quite excited about that. But then I'm a bit of a shut-in, so. Another TV show is a new X-Men show.
Okay.
Which is, I think they just started doing script readings for it, and it's got Stephen Moyer from True Blood.
Okay.
Who is the British actor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Amy Acker from Buffy and Angel. More Angel, I think. As a family who find out their child has mutant powers, so they go on the run. And it's supposed to be set in the X-Men movie continuity.
Oh, God. We'll come to that.
Well, yeah. So apparently anecdotes that apparently both Patrick Stewart and James McAvoy have expressed an interest in appearing as a cameo role as Professor X. So, could be alright. I mean, Marvel TV shows, bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, I suspect we're also going to touch on that news as well.
Well, the other thing that's on my running order is, we must mention now, is Iron Fist.
So we are all Team Iron Fist. We got a lot of time for it, but for some reason, they've not given us the advanced press screenings. They've given it to lesser comic podcasts
and outrageous
comic outlets. They've all given it a bashing.
Yeah, it's the first 6 episodes or so been out for review.
Right.
It's not fared very well.
Should have given it to us.
Well, you say that.
Right.
Considering we were not exactly... didn't have much love for Luke Cage, the show.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Because I remember us really trying There were some good highlights of Luke Cage.
We tried. Mm-hmm. My hope is they are reviewers that are not au fait with Iron Fist in his modern incarnations, and maybe just don't get the sense of humour. That's just my takeaway from what they're marking it down for.
What's the general sort of tone of the reviews then? Because I haven't.
It's just that apparently it's quite dull. The characters are quite flat. The pacing's all over the place, which is kind of the curse that a lot of the Netflix shows have at the end of the series. Yeah. They always kind of start off well, and then the back end kind of like loses its way.
Mm.
Particularly, I know we bashed on about this before, but like the second season of Daredevil and Luke Cage had that kind of, you could have just truncated most of that into that couple of episodes. Yeah. It sounds like Iron Fist starts off like that, which could mean it ends really well.
It could.
He said optimistically.
The review I read described him as the idiot love child of Bruce Wayne. Like, he's a spoilt millionaire baby, but he's just an idiot. And to be honest, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't all have to be like super sleuths, and that's fine. I'm up for it as long as it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, and then obviously that kind of segues straight into The Defenders, which is filming currently. So, I don't know, I was really excited about the Netflix stuff, and it started off so well with the first season of Daredevil.
Mm.
Got better with the first series of Jessica Jones, and it's just... I don't know.
Well...
We haven't got long to wait. It's like, as we record this, it's just over a week away until the whole of Iron Fist drops on Netflix. So.
Well, see, I was getting Marvel burnout, as I explained in a couple of episodes ago. Like, I was getting burned out with the movies, and like I just kind of had my fill for the last Avengers. Oh no, that was Captain America. What a faux pas!
That's fine. Yeah. A lot of people think it's Avengers 2.5.
Yeah. But like, I finally got to watch Doctor Strange this weekend. The baby got me up at 6 o'clock. Decided everyone was getting up. So I was like, all right. So Doctor Strange had come a few days before on Blu-ray and stuck it on. It was great.
It's good, right?
It just properly reignited my love for the whole franchise, really.
Why do you think that is?
To be honest, because I oft forgot that it was set in that continuity. In fact, it wasn't until... And one of the characters were like, oh, the Avengers keep the world safe from this. And we keep... I was like, oh, yeah, this is in the same continuity, isn't it? And then you see the tower in the back of a few shots. And yeah, it wasn't until like the post-credit sequence. You're like, I can see how this all fits together. This is great. I'm really on board with this.
There you go.
It did help that it was quite funny as well.
Yeah,
as Marvel movies go.
Funny.
Yeah, they did well with this one. I think Mads phoned it in, but...
Again, it has the problem that a lot of the Marvel movies have, where the bad guy is pretty much cookie cutter.
Yeah.
He did as well as he could.
And then spoilers if you've not seen it yet. But like, I liked the fact that there wasn't like just a big catastrophic fight at the end. It was done using wits.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's not actually seen that before in a Marvel movie. That's fucking awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah,
good stuff.
Sign me up. So hopefully, Defenders is good. I didn't stick through the entirety of Luke Cage. I thought that was too much for me. Then again, I was nursing. I was nursing a 1 month. Yeah. We've all got nipples, I suppose. I was staying up. Oh, the face Carly's just pulled. What's wrong with my nipples?
It's not your nipples. It's just. Honestly, just the thought of breastfeeding makes me want to vomit.
What, the thought of Neil breastfeeding?
No, just anyone.
Oh, okay.
It just really freaks me out. And I just,
interesting.
Wow, that kid's probably.
Yeah.
This is another podcast. This is another podcast. But yeah, I think the fact that I was just relentlessly tired and Luke Cage pacing, and it was all a bit silly. So yeah, I kind of bowed out of that one, but I'll jump back in for Iron Fist and see. I'm notorious for not agreeing with a lot of critics. I would point to X-Men Apocalypse as a good example of that.
We'd have gone that, because,
But yeah, new TV shows in the work. I'll watch Iron Fist. We'll we'll watch Iron Fist. What's the worst that can happen?
It. I'm not that excited for it, though.
No, my expectations keep getting lower and lower. So like, I totally agree that I don't necessarily agree with what critics say, but the things that have been said, like, I haven't read the reviews in depth. It's the top line stuff saying that, you know, pacing's rubbish.
Yeah.
Characterizations are a bit flat. And it's like, this is the problems I had with a couple of the other Netflix series. I'm But, you know, I'm going to binge at least like the first six or eight in the first couple of days.
Yeah, you've got your tradition. You've got your chicken nuggets lined up.
We've got chicken nuggets, chicken dippers that ready. And I'm going to binge those.
And they-
A friend of ours, Sam, coming up. We've literally every Netflix series he's come up from London, and we've just like chicken dippered it, had a few beers.
That's how you call it now, is it?
Yeah.
Lads, it's a mod take.
Shut up! So actually, I might do like a hot take mini version podcast on this.
Ooh.
So be warned, because I have tried to get Sam on before. And for what reason or another, we didn't get him on. So,
I can imagine there are a few omitting factors.
He's a bit upset about that. So
this is a good reason.
Yeah. So we may be having another podcast in a week's time.
All right, we're bloody talking about comic TV series again. Let's move off that.
Well, I wanted to come back on two more things, though, before we go.
Very quickly. That's right, what?
One, you're not keen on.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen it. It's a Deadpool 2 teaser. Ryan Reynolds but not sell it to you?
Ryan Reynolds is funny, and I liked all his goading for Hugh Jackman. Yeah. That was good on Twitter. But every fucking Deadpool teaser, like, it took me, what, 6 months to actually watch Deadpool when it came out begrudgingly.
And I did
like it, but just, I liked it in spite of Deadpool. don't sell it to me with more Deadpool, because it's just going to push all the wrong buttons and drive me away again.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to see when they finally announce the casting for Cable.
Yeah.
Because the last time they did this discussion a couple of months ago, Pierce Brosnan was doing the rounds, which I think's quite a good idea.
Yeah,
I've never thought about it.
Could be fun.
On the nose, I thought someone like Ron Perlman, but I don't know, Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He could do comedy.
Yeah.
He's done lately, anyway.
Exactly.
World's End, mate. World's End, great film.
Was he in the World's End?
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan. He's the school teacher.
Oh, God, I can't remember it. I wasn't a fan of it. Anyway. And the other one, I know you're excited about, the Wonder Woman, the new Wonder Woman trailer.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
That pretty much sums it up. Pretty much sums it up right there. I can't believe
it's not butter.
Oh, God. I can't believe that they're hitting the mark with every Wonder Woman trailer. And yes, it might be clever marketing, but they're doing it so right when they got Batman versus Superman and Justice League is continuing to just, like, run into a wall.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Just every bit of marketing put out for both of them is just making you go, ugh. Whereas Wonder Woman, I don't know whether it's just me, I don't know whether it's the way that they're marketing it cleverly. I mean, you hear all this talk of like, oh, rewrites and this, that and the other. Yeah. But as far as trailers go, and like, I'm just sitting there like, I'm just getting more and more into it. I'm like, yes, yeah, I want to watch this movie. It looks great.
Okay. I'm sceptical. I mean, it looks great. The trailer looks great. But I just, you know, totally...
What are you sceptical about?
Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad.
Oh, God, I forgot about Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Suicide Squad trailers were great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like with the Suicide Squad, though, that did feel like a wild card, though. Every trailer just felt a bit... like that, I don't know, it's either going to be genius or it's just going to really flop.
Yeah.
And then with Batman v Superman, that should have been amazing, but it was shit. And the only thing that made it was Wonder Woman at the end.
True.
Yeah, but I think that all of those films have fallen on the sort of death by committee.
Mm.
Yeah, and I suspect Justice League's going to go down the same way. Whereas... Wonder Woman seems quite an independent production. I think they have actually changed staff a few times, but there doesn't seem to be as much interference.
Well, apparently they've done some test screenings, and the word has been good. And some people have said that it's kind of similar to the first Captain America movie, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No,
I guess that's kind of like a lazy comparison, since it's set in World War.
I heard different. I heard, like, the initial reactions were like, oh, this is terrible. And then there's been a lot of damage control of like, there was lots of infighting saying, wow, what does this person know who was invited to see it?
Oh, okay.
So,
I thought it was test screens for, like, your average Joe. I know there was some initial word
There was industry ones last year
saying, it's a disaster, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But they did some screenings of, well, about a month ago, and this was for fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently the word was good.
Yeah. I've gone into it with arms wide open. I want it to work. Favourite DC heroine.
Yeah.
So
I feel like she's coming at the right time as well, don't you? Having a really strong female character.
Wait until you're out of the States before you finish that sentence.
Huh?
I says, wait till you're out of the States before you finish that sentence, before they're listening in.
That's it.
Yeah. I see what you mean, though. It is not a particularly great time to be a woman in this world.
There have been worse times.
There have, in fairness, been incrementally worse times. But, women's lib needs a shot in the arm, and this just might be the pop culture way to do it.
Well, yeah, and I think also, even though things are a little bit dire at the moment for anyone that's not white, male, and middle class,
yeah,
I do think that...
It's
coming at the right time.
Yeah.
And as dire as things are, people are starting to speak out about it. So the more things that come into the front lines, like this movie and things like that, is only going to kind of help reaffirm women's positions in society.
Isn't it?
That's not bad.
That's so positive.
It's not shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well,
we're rolling out the quotes this episode, aren't we?
You are. Well, fingers crossed it's going to be awesome. Mm. I want it to be awesome. I want it to succeed.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Wonder Woman. What's next?
So I've now got the 1970s Wonder Woman song going on in my head.
Yeah. I kind of hope that does find its way in there somehow. Even if it's like a Westworld-style piano...
Yeah.
I want it in there.
Well, Linda Carter's got to make a cameo appearance in it, right?
She has to.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go back on topic to something that we actually have seen.
Right.
Rather than spaffulating on something.
Oh, God, stop trying to make spaffulating happen.
If we're going to talk about Logan, there's going to be plenty of spaffulating.
Oh. Yeah. Right, so, put the towels down, everyone. Yeah. We're about to talk about Logan.
So,
Carly, do you want us to just drape like a miniature curtain across the phone at this point? Like, are you going to need your privacy?
My God.
We could turn the FaceTime off if you want. It's just audio only.
Just like dollhouse curtains on a little string. Just like, right, give her a space. Give her a space. Not that we won't be just as bad at Buff Hugh Jackman, but hey.
Was he buff though this time around? He looked a bit rough, to say the least.
Yeah, these moments. Yeah.
Okay.
These tops off moments.
Did he? Oh, I can't remember that. Anyway, so Logan.
Somehow I managed to go to the cinema and see a comic book movie, which is unprecedented for the last 6 months. So yeah, I'm glad that I got to go and see Logan. It was...
terrible.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
It was really good.
There you go. That's our review of Logan.
pretty much.
I don't know where to start, really. I
find it very hard to pick faults with this movie. Very hard.
No, I've considering I'm probably the one who does pick faults in a lot of these movies.
Here he goes.
I won't, and I'm not really going to pick faults in it. The only thing I'd say, just as a disclaimer, there will be spoilers. So if you haven't seen Logan and you intend to see it, then you can probably stop listening right now. Because I'm going to spoil it.
Go on, spoil it.
For me, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I loved the direction. Loved the casting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel as emotionally invested at the end as I felt I should do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, spoilers, because obviously Logan dies.
Mm-hmm.
Professor X dies.
Oh
yeah.
God, honestly, like my heart just like...
Yeah, but you got that. Maybe I am just dead inside then, because I just felt... I don't know, I think because I know the characters, I just felt like when it happened, I was like, oh yeah.
Hasn't he died about 16 times?
I think that is part of the problem. I think we've seen these characters die before.
Yeah.
And we're partly in disbelief and denial about it.
Mm.
Like, it was supposed to be really emotional, and we're like, yeah, but...
Yeah. Actually, because I saw it once with a couple of friends, and you said you went to see it. I actually took you on a mandate to see. I saw it the second time.
You did.
The first time. Yeah. And I enjoyed it more second time. And I think I remember watching it first time around, and at the end scene where you have like the funeral scene with Logan, and you have the X on the grave. Nice touch. Nice visual touch. We sat waiting through the credits, waiting for an end credit thing, and we were going, I fucking loved it. And we all kind of said the same thing. I love it. But if they do a scene at the end with claws popping out of that grave,
yeah,
I was expecting
it's gonna ruin
that.
It's going to ruin it. Because obviously, the thing in my mind was Batman v Superman, where you see the. But we knew Superman's not dead. But with this, it was kind of like, don't do that. Don't have the claws popping out. Don't have the claws popping out. And so I guess I kind of became disengaged. If watching it a second time around, I was more relaxed. Got to the end, I thought, no, brilliant. Loved it. But I guess it's the thing with superhero movies. You're so used to the heroes coming back from the dead that the emotional impact kind of lessens. Because they were talking, some people were kind of likening it to the Last of Us video game, which I think is a bit of a lazy comparison.
It was just ladders and cutscenes.
Yeah. But for me, that's Neil's video game review. For me, it was more like the Denzel Washington movie Man on Fire.
Which
I loved. And I'm not ashamed to admit, I kind of blubbed at the end of that.
Sweet Lord.
Yeah, and I kind of... halfway through the movie I kind of thought, oh shit, this is like Man on Fire, brilliant. But then when the inevitable sad scenes happened, I was like, I wasn't that sad. I was kind of like, oh man. And I wonder whether if it was almost not an X-Men movie, whether I would have had that more of an impact.
Yeah,
I didn't have that continuity baggage of like, well, you know, Professor X has come back from the dead before. Not that was ever explained how he came back from the dead after X-Men Last Stand.
That was a tragic like death though.
That was
Xavier.
Because did Jean Grey killed him, right? If I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Didn't Jean Grey kill him in? Oh no, you're talking about Logan. Sorry.
Yeah, Logan. Okay.
Yeah. Why was it tragic, Kai?
Well, am I wrong in feeling? Because I know I said this to you, Stu, when I was just rapid texted you after I watched it.
Is that when I ignored you though?
Huh?
Is that when I ignored your text though? I was being a dick. You didn't. I had never told Carly what I felt about the movie.
Right.
And so I got these rapid fire texts from Carly, and I was not gonna say anything because I didn't want to kind of colour.
Sure.
Her judgment, but I think I must have pissed you off because I was just like, you were like, I loved it, and I'm like, interesting. That's my only text.
I responded, but don't do that. No, there were moments where it really reminded me of Terminator 2. And I know,
I can see that. They're being chased the whole time and hunted down. Yeah.
And then it was the scene in the house as well when test tube Logan turns up. And he just sort of like brutally massacres everyone, and it had that feel for me.
It definitely had a Terminator 2 feel,
But I felt like that when I was watching it though. Like when I watched Terminator 2 as a wee nipper, I remember thinking, fuck, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I felt a bit like that when I was watching Logan as well.
That's high praise. I see people struggling to place it within the franchise, like they're trying to join all the dots, and we're talking what, 6, 9 X-Men movies now if you're counting the Wolverine spin-offs, like
9.
Don't try so hard, it's fine, you don't have to join all the dots. Do you disagree? Here we go.
The problem I've got with the X-Men movies, I remember saying this when we watched X-Men Apocalypse.
Best film.
Incidentally, I borrowed Neil's copy of X-Men Apocalypse because the fool went out and bought it on Blu-ray. And I watched it last week after seeing Logan.
I'm sorry, Stu.
It's a terrible movie, Charles.
It's so not. It's so
And it's funny, you look at last year we had X-Men Apocalypse, and then this year the new X-Men movie is Logan, and they are chalk and cheese. So going back to the thing, the problem I've got with the X-Men movies is they hammer the point on the head about continuity. And the recent trilogy did this, and I know I've said this before, it's like the first one, First Class, they say this is 1963.
Yeah.
And then the second one's this is 1972.
Yeah.
And then Apocalypse is 1983. And you're like, right, hang on, so there's a 20-year gap, and yet they haven't really aged. And they keep making that point.
Yeah.
And then they have this attitude of, like, continuity. Ah, fuck continuity.
Mm.
So at the end of Days of Future Past, Wolverine ends up in the river and is fished out by Stryker, but it's Mystique as Stryker.
Yeah.
And then the Vex Apocalypse, we have him in the Weapon X facility.
Yeah.
And then he runs out naked because Jean Grey frees him.
Yeah.
And then we... Okay, that's it. We don't know really what happened. It's like, well, did the original trilogy happen? Probably not, because it's all been undone. And so they have this kind of sort of laissez-faire attitude for continuity, but they keep banging on about continuity. They keep kind of saying, this happened this time. And that's what infuriates me with these movies.
Right.
Like, because they don't have to do that. They could just make them more standalone, but they keep doing these post-credit scenes that lead to nothing or inconsistent.
Nothing or everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the Days of Future Past one, we mentioned about Professor X being killed by Jean Grey in The Last Stand.
Yeah.
He appears in that end credit sequence at the end of The Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which, again, incidentally, we got back from seeing Logan, and Channel 4 had it on. So I caught the last half hour or so, and I was kind of curious to watch that end scene again.
Yeah.
And it is set, I think it's supposed to be set, like, I don't know, a few years before Days of Future Past.
Mm.
And, you know, Wolverine's at the airport, Magneto rucks up, and it's they're going to have a bit of a fight, and then Charles Xavier kind of wheels himself in. I think Logan goes, but how? And he goes, oh, you're not the only one with abilities. And that's it. That's all they say. It's like, right, okay, forget it. So it's never explained. And so there's loads of inconsistencies. Linking it back to Logan, you have Stephen Merchant doing a brilliant job of playing Caliban.
Yeah.
Who, last time we saw...
In X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. So about, I think this movie's set in like 2029 or something.
Yes, that's right.
So the last time we saw Caliban in continuity was 83.
Yeah.
And the guy, I forgot the name of the actor who played him, who was kind of Eastern European.
Yeah.
So watching Apocalypse again, he has this Eastern European accent. Stephen Merchant, same character.
Has quite, his Bristolian.
Yeah, quite proud to keep his West Country accent. Fair play.
Yeah.
Also looks the same age as the guy who played him in 1983. And it's just this kind of... I don't know. Maybe I'm being picky, but it just it takes me out of the movies. Sorry?
You are being picky.
I just don't think you can approach, like, coming by movies. I mean, yeah, they should have from the start. I don't believe in my heart of hearts that when they made X-Men, they thought they were going to be 10 movies later.
No, but then you don't have to keep banging on about...
No, I agree. They should
specific time things.
They shouldn't have tried at any point in Logan to tie it into anything.
No.
Like mentioning the Statue of Liberty and making X-Men
movies canon. Oh, I thought that was quite
nice. I mean, it was, but then it's your whole thing about trying to tie them all together. They shouldn't. I went in approaching it of just, I'm aware of these characters are, and that's as deep as I'm going to go with it.
Okay. So I am a dick.
No, I just think, I think like all comic book fans, you get obsessive. Like we've had years and years of our secret hobby before it's become more mainstream, where we covet this information and continuity. We're the keepers of these stories.
But I think you misunderstand me. I've got a problem with them diverging from the comics or being different. I've got a problem with their own internal continuity. Like with the Marvel movies, they never specifically state what year things take place, as far as I know. It's all kind of a bit fluid. Like comic books, like comic book continuity, there's a kind of fluid timeline. Yeah. Where you could read 20 years worth of X-Men comics.
Yeah.
And in real time, it's probably the equivalent of like 4 months or 5 months. But if you read those comics and you look at the fashions that are in the comics, they cover like 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
But for me, the problem I've got with the X-Men movies is they specifically state time zones. And it's just like, doesn't make sense.
Any time a franchise introduces time travel, with the exception of Back to the Future, it's shite.
Well, because you weren't a fan of Days of Future Past, were you?
It's not my favourite. I mean, with the exception of the Quicksilver scene, it didn't really do anything for me. Fun? It was fun, but it was popcorn.
And you still preferred Apocalypse over that?
I still prefer Apocalypse over it. I find Apocalypse more digestible.
Anyway, right. I'm getting upset.
Which makes Logan my number two X-Men.
Oh, man. Okay.
Aside from that, though, I think a lot of the reviews have said, and I think it's like the general feeling amongst everyone, is that it doesn't feel like a superhero film anyway. So even though there are these continuity issues that you mentioned, and you're right, on the flip side to that, you can ignore that and just take it for what it is, because it is a standalone film, I think.
Yeah, they mention in all their press interviews that they tried not to market it and make it as a superhero film, which they didn't quite achieve in my view, because there was a lots of ability porn in there, but...
But there were no costumes.
There's no costumes.
Which was good. I think that would have been really jarring.
Yeah, unless you count Callahan's gardening hat and goggles. But no, there's no, there's no costumes.
And there was like a human element to it all as well that weren't in any of the other films, obviously, because they were all superhero films. And I think for me, watching it, I think I found it quite emotional because I was sort of surprised, really, because I felt really sort of invested in Charles Xavier, because all of a sudden he was, to me, he was a he was just an old man in a wheelchair was being locked away for some reason that wasn't really made that clear to start with. You know, something awful had happened and they were hiding him. He was just an old man whose brain was failing him and being fairly fairly poorly looked after by people. And you felt bad. It was like that age element had creeped into it. And then you had like the aging with and like the ill health with Logan as well. And all of a sudden you're looking at these characters that were completely unstoppable and had a problem dying. And all of a sudden like you're faced with their mortality. And that was something that I felt quite affected by throughout. Every time you saw Logan like struggling to get up from the chair or getting out of breath or limping slightly.
Yeah, so he had a permanent limp,
didn't he? You saw Xavier forget things. Yeah. He felt bad.
In contrary to like all this continuity stuff that they were doing, what I really liked about the film is when they didn't explain things or only just barely alluded to them.
Westchester incident?
Like, that was genius. Yeah. Like, I liked that. And I thought the most fucking awesome stroke evil thing about it is when they just offhandly explain how they killed off all the other mutants by just Richard E. Grant just starts introducing additives into the food supply so they just all die out, which was just like so evil but so amazing as well. You're like, oh, you bastard. Like, it's, I mean, even like Wolverine's one of the last to die because like he's knocking back whiskey, which no doubt has these additives in it, and it's just taking away his regenerative powers that can combat against the adamantium poison.
Yeah, because that's what he's dying for, isn't it? Because again, I didn't really pick up on it first time, but second time you kind of got that. It's his adamantium's poisoning him.
So like it's fucked up his regen powers. I'm like, oh, that's so good. I also really like the way that just there wasn't like the immense superhero fight or fit and death for Richard E. Grant. It was just bang, dead, shot in the head. It's like, fuck yes.
And that end, like coming up, like the end theme, like that big fight scene where he take that serum, I can't remember what it was called. But that was kind of like I remember saying it to you, Stu, when we were talking on the phone about it. It was like when you were watching it, it was kind of like, you know when you like see an old dog and they're literally on their last legs, right? And then all of a sudden they get like a bit of a burst of energy and they're like a puppy again before they carp it. Like it was sort of like that, and you were kind of like waiting for his moment, and in the back of my mind I was thinking, well, maybe it might work itself out. Maybe something's gonna happen. He'll take the serum and maybe he'll be okay and that'll be it. Oh, surprise. But
were you expecting him to die?
It was.
Were you expecting him to die? Did you think he was going to die at the end, or would?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Yes and no. I think like you could tell that it was heading that way, but then when Xavier died, I thought surely they're not
going to kill both.
Him off. And because that was a shocker. Like when for me, I was like, "Fuck!" You know, when he got impaled through the chest.
Go on. I thought he was gonna die, but I didn't expect it then.
No, all that way.
Yeah. Although, did you think it was gonna be, that was gonna be the X-24 Wolverine clone, or were you like me, thinking it's gonna be Liv Schreiber turning up again as Sabretooth?
Well, they looked really similar, didn't they? Like, there was a moment where I was like, hang on, is that Sabretooth or is it, like, Test Tube Wolverine? I couldn't work out which one it was for a minute. I was like, they look kind of similar.
How would you have felt if it was Liv Schreiber? Would you think that would have been better, worse, or the same? Or do you think that would have
I was going to say, I was going on the Liev Schreiber route, so...
Yeah. Well, not necessarily Schreiber, but that Sabretooth, just the Sabretooth.
So, you know that they did talk to him, that was in the initial draft.
Yeah.
So they were going to have Sabretooth turn up in the casino, and they were going to help each other out fighting.
Yeah, but I that to me, when I read that, I was like, I think the reason they didn't do it, because they just felt it didn't add anything to the movie, which didn't make sense.
Sure.
But I when the scene with X-24, when he makes his appearance, I thought, oh shit, it's Sabretooth.
Mm.
And I was a bit like, oh, it's not. It's like young clone Wolverine.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of undecided. That's why I'm asking you guys. Would you have felt it would have taken anything from it or added anything to it if you had that kind of... Bearing in mind, he's supposed to be like Logan's like mortal enemy or brother enemy.
Brenemy, wow.
Yeah.
I liked that it was test tube Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because... It was that element. I feel like if it was Sabretooth that had done that, I would have been like, oh, fuck, you know, that's shit. But because it was test tube Wolverine, it was that shock. It was like, it was shocking.
Yeah.
Wolverine that did it.
And I guess Xavier died thinking it was Logan.
For a minute, yeah. You're like, huh? Like, what's going on?
Okay.
And he's brutal as well. Oh my god, okay, I was just going to fangirl for a minute.
Right.
When Logan and Test Tube Wolverine were having their fight, I was just like, blimey. Wow.
Were you fanning yourself down?
Yeah, I was like, to be fair, the whole way through the film, I was grinning like a maniac, like an absolute maniac. And I looked at my friend, who I didn't realise is really squeamish. And you know, like the first scene with the whole limo thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty. I mean, it was graphic. It was fine.
Sure was. Couple of like limbs.
Oh my god! It's amazing. And I kept hearing my friend going, oh no, ow, like this, and I was just like, oh god.
I love watching movies like that with people like that. It's amazing.
It was quite the statement of intent.
Well, that whole opening scene was was definitely a statement of intent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I think the first line of dialogue was fuck, which is not big or clever, kids, although it was quite funny.
Yeah.
And what, we had a couple of limbs cut off.
Yeah, and the hotel standoff with the slow motion, just pushing.
My favourite scene in the movie.
Yeah.
That whole Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Hotel. So you see the guys sort of like shifting their view. They can see him coming, but can't do anything about it. Like,
skewered.
But and to be fair though, let's give a little bit of credit to I don't remember her name.
Daphne King.
Her. Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. No fault there at all.
And surprisingly, she brought in some of the best comedy gags. Like when she started speaking in Spanish at the end, that was actually genuinely funny, and you needed that at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just lost Charles, and Logan was like at death's door. And the whole family being massacred, so it's all pretty much a low point. So her like having a go at him in Spanish kind of had a bit of levity, and she starts punching him in the face, and comedy violence was needed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of twigged that he was going to die as soon as they used Shane. I was like, oh, right.
That was a bit on the nose, wasn't it?
Yeah. Maybe it was being too clever for its own good, but bloody hell, what a film. What a way to go out.
His dead moment in the end, though, he kind of, after he had that serum stuff, and it was like old Wolverine was back. Like, that's amazing. And then boom.
So a couple of things I run by you guys. Did you read recently that an eagle-eyed fan twittered James Mangold, writer director, and said, did you signpost the ending in The Wolverine, where there's a bit of line of dialogue, I forgot the name of the character, but she can cut her mutant power is that she can see the future or see people's deaths.
Yeah.
And says to Logan, I see you like on your back with your heart in your hand.
Mm.
And this fan kind of took a screenshot of Logan holding Laura's hand.
Mm.
And he went, did you signpost this or something? And James Mangold went, congratulations, well done. He saw it. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
There you are.
There you go.
So the Blu-ray, when it eventually comes out, it's going to have a black and white cut of this movie, which I think would be quite cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it could be up for
that. I love the way it was filmed. It had that kind of like burnt out film noir, western vibe to it.
Very much so.
It looked aged, didn't it? It looked aged.
It looked good. And they apparently did film a Jean Grey scene.
Really?
So during the dinner table scene with the family, there's a bit of dialogue where
I think the mother asks Logan if he was ever married.
Yeah.
And I think Charles is saying about, oh, he was, but he killed her. In like proper like sort of seen out old man bit, and then he starts waxing lyrical about Jean Grey. Which they felt, apparently they felt distracted. But I don't know, I kind of liked the Jean Grey stuff in The Wolverine was made a pretty bad movie pretty good, like the whole him feeling guilt about killing her because he had to.
Yeah.
So there was that love affair thing, and I kind of felt it would have been nice to have a bit of a nod to her. But I don't know, maybe they couldn't get Famke. But anyway.
I'm looking forward to that one being on Blu-ray. It's bloody Rogue One next week.
God, come around quick, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Pumping them out.
So back to Logan.
All right.
So that's definitely it for old Hugh. Although he has said that the one thing that would get him out of retirement would be if Marvel Studios reached an agreement, or rather Fox reached an agreement with Marvel Studios, and him were turning up in the X-Men, because he said he'd love to, like,
you know, I mean the Avengers.
Just take on the Hulk or something would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
So that could be something that could happen. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering whether like Fox are kind of waiting to see how Sony do with Spider-Man, and if there's you know, they could maybe consider that. I don't know, but then Logan's done exceptionally well.
He really has.
So perhaps not.
Gratefully so.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely it for him. Although Ryan Reynolds is trying to get him to agree to do like a Deadpool.
Yeah.
But that could be years down the line. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably it for Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
So, who do you think would take over? Do you want anyone to take over?
Nah. Draw a line over it. Give it a 10 years. Give it 10 years and reboot it.
We put the question to some of our followers on Twitter, and majority of people were like, "No, irreplaceable." Or
yeah,
you know, give it, you know, give it some years.
Yeah.
The only name that was bandied about,
right?
It's kind of an obvious one. I know Carly's already suggested this. Who do you think has been suggested as a replacement for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine? It was your choice.
It's not hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Too obvious, though, I think. I think they'll go for someone who's unknown.
Yeah.
Hardy's so lovely.
Well, you could definitely pull off, like, the psycho. But my suggestion was based, you know, because Wolverine the comics, originally, is this kind of short, squat, hairy, ugly, like, bruiser, but, like, exceptionally...
Danny DeVito.
No, I was going to say Ron Jeremy, but, you know...
Hell.
What about you, Neil?
The Ron Jeremy story.
another podcast.
Oh yeah, because we've both met, well, we haven't met Ron Jeremy.
Wow.
We've been in a restaurant,
been exposed to him,
to Ron, where Ron Jeremy was in the restaurant, who brought in a harmonica, if I remember rightly.
Mm-hmm. He did,
and you heard your Scottish accent.
Yeah, fair play to him.
So what did he do in honour of you being Scottish?
He played Scotland the Brave on his harmonica for the restaurant. Your heart goes out.
Son of Scotland.
There you go. That's our Ron Jeremy story.
Yeah.
I've got a Ron Jeremy story.
Oh, Christ.
Is it suitable for radio?
Is this why you're in America?
Is this why you're blonde?
No, it's just a bit embarrassing, really. And it was just a case of, like, wrong timing. There was a Ron... I was living at home with Mum. And I was a lot younger, obviously. And there was a Ron Jeremy documentary on TV. And this is when I used to, like, keep fit. And I was watching the documentary, but I was doing sit-ups at the same time. And
right. I'm worried about where this is going.
18. And so I was in my underwear doing sit-ups, really hot and flushed. And my mum ended up walking in, and I was on the floor, kind of like that, and looked at the TV, and it just happened to be a shot of Ron Jeremy with his wang out. And
right.
I was on the floor, looking really sweaty and flushed. And she just looked at me, she went, "What are you doing?"
The wonders of having a teenage daughter. There you go. Cautionary tale.
Yeah, tell me about it. So
that's your Logan.
That's your Logan. Well done, everyone involved. You get a big BAM sticker in the post.
Yeah. Marks out of five?
Oh, five.
Oh,
five. Five. Yeah.
Carly?
Five.
Yeah, give it a five.
There we go. So yeah, we have all agreed that Logan is the best X-Men movie, of course, after X-Men Apocalypse. Nah, it's awesome. Go see it. You must have seen it if you're listening to this already, because if not, we've just spoiled it royally for you.
Yeah.
So.
And you've listened to the entirety of this.
Yeah,
video.
So yeah, you idiot.
Right, welcome back to part two of BAM. Carly and Neil have left us, or left me, but I've been joined again by Mark.
Hello.
So as I mentioned at the top of the show, this is Mark's third appearance?
I think so, yeah. But I'm clearly, I'm not allowed to be with Neil and Carly. There's a restraining order out, so I can only, like, I'm not allowed to be in the same room
exactly,
with them.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we didn't have to talk about that, that's fine, but you know. So we've spoken about Logan at the first part of the show, which I know you were not remotely interested in seeing.
It looked to me, it looked a little bit too dark and violent and sweary, and I don't mind dark, violent, sweary films.
But you are quite sensitive.
I'm a very sensitive soul. I don't mind dark, violent, sweary films, but it just seems a bit incongruous to have a dark, violent, sweary comic book film. Which is, I know, is stupid. And to be honest, now that I've heard so much about it, I am probably inclined to go and, or at least catch up with it years later on Blu-ray at some point.
Oh, right. So you should definitely listen to it, and then you'd rather watch it.
Yeah.
And then you should listen to the first part of our show.
I will do.
Which will spoil it for you.
But the trailers, it's a funny thing. It's one of those ones where the trailers left me a little cold.
Okay.
But your opinion matters more than a trailer.
Obviously. So anyway, one film we have seen together, not together together, but...
We were together.
Not on this one.
Oh, we weren't, were we?
No. You took your son. Unless you look at me as your son.
And you know, we see so many things together, it all blurs into one.
That's fair enough. So, Lego Batman.
Yes.
One film that you were most looking forward to seeing this year.
Indeed.
Did it disappoint, or was it everything you hoped it was going to be?
It was pretty much everything I expected it to be. It was great fun. It was non-stop action. I mean, it really didn't slow down at all.
Yeah.
For anything, and it was very entertaining.
I'm waiting for the butt.
And it was great to see all those other genres, you know, characters come in. There was the Voldemort. There was, as we discussed, there was Clash of the Titans. We think.
I'm pretty sure that was the Kraken from Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, which I think which is great. There was Gremlins. I mean, at times it felt like I was watching an advert for the current season of Lego Dimensions. It really was that close to it. As great and as fun and as entertaining as it was, I just didn't think it was anywhere near as good as the Lego Movie. I think it lacked the soul of the Lego Movie.
Oh, okay.
It felt like quite a commercial movie. You know, here is Lego Batman designed to sell Lego Batman. And ironically, I was in a toy shop straight after looking at the Lego Batman range,
right,
and everything from the movie was there to buy as a toy.
Like, really?
Everything. Now, I know the same was the case with the Lego Movie, but the Lego Movie to me felt like a film that had a message, you know, like had a moral to it. Whereas Lego Batman was just there to sell stuff to kids.
Oh, Lego Batman had a message, didn't it? It's like, you know, it's like having friends is important, right? And family. So there was a message there. There was that really annoying song at the end of it, sung by Robin and Michael Cera, which I've forgotten about, thankfully. It was in my head for like 2 days afterwards, but now it's gone.
Well, that was more of, I would call that more of a plot point.
Okay, right.
More than anything. That was, it all felt a little bit engineered and you knew where it was going.
Sure.
Whereas I felt the best thing about the original Lego Movie was it was more about, the best thing about Lego is just playing with it.
Yeah.
It's not following the instructions. I don't know if I'm really kind of explaining it very well, but it just felt more about family in a way. It was more about, here is a father playing with his kid, playing their own rules, doing their own things. I'm talking about the original Lego movie here. Yeah. Whereas Lego Batman, having friends, it was just a plot point to me.
Oh, fair enough.
Didn't really feel like a message to me. It was entertaining, it was fun.
You're not a massive Batman fan, to be fair.
Massive Batman fan, and, you know, it was pretty brutal in 4DX.
How did it work in 4DX? I can't imagine Lego Batman in 4DX.
Well, it the same way any other. There's lots of swinging around in a seat, lots of being punched in the back. I mean, it was non-stop action.
I'm trying to imagine those action scenes. Yeah, I guess it could work in 4DX.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It just felt a bit mechanical.
Okay.
It lacked the soul of the original Lego Movie.
Would you be interested in seeing a follow-up? Or
I would be interested. Well, I'd be interested in seeing more Lego films in that style.
Yeah.
And they've already got Lego Ninjago coming.
Yeah.
Which probably means nothing unless you know anything about the Lego Ninjago toys.
I don't know anything about it at all, other than what you told me, that your son's a big fan.
Yeah.
And I saw the trailer for the movie, which looked funny, but again, it had that kind of, it's the Lego movie genre now, isn't it, it seems.
Yeah, so I'd totally love to see more. I'd love to see more of that crossover stuff. Yeah, it was, it sounds like I didn't enjoy it. I did, I loved it. I thought it was great. I kind of expected something a little bit less like an exercise to sell toys,
yeah.
Which is dumb when you think about it, because it's Lego. It's
going to
sell Lego.
It's going to do that. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think for me, what was surprising, you said about the non-stop action. I think for me, it was the non-stop jokes. It, like the first, at least the first half was relentless with like the funnies and the obvious gags for kids, gags for the adults, and then the really niche-y comic book lore references as well, like some of the characters they pulled out, something really obscure, like Batman ones, you know, most of them I'd kind of had a recollection of, a few of them I had to Google up, and I'm like, nope, they genuinely were real.
What, Ketchup Man?
Condiment King. Yeah, or something, wasn't it? Condiment King.
Was he real?
Yeah.
He was an actual real Batman character.
And Eraser was a character as well. So yeah, there was some like terrible, he's got like 70 years of heritage, so he's going to have some
I just thought turkeys. That, I actually assumed that was just made up.
No.
Well, someone made up originally.
Yeah, I mean, the Batman's got a history of, like, terrible characters. There's, like, most of them have got a checkered history. There's only you look at the sort of, like, the main rose gallery of Batman, and there's only a handful of ones that really stand out. But over 70 years, people have tried new characters, and they just, you know, failed. And obviously, during the 50s and 60s was his most quirky era. They were innocent times. What I found surprising was how they referenced all the stuff that happened before with Batman, like everything is lore, like the gag with Alfred when he's referencing the dark times that Batman had gone through, and he literally references all the major live action movies, and ending with the punchline of like the 1966 Batman, that to me was like, that's so good, you know.
I think a lot of that stuff, I mean, I got the movie references, but I think maybe a lot of that stuff probably fell flat on me because I'm not a huge Batman fan. You saying that and seeing the way you're enthusing about it, I didn't even occur to me that all that stuff was in it. So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
And if you're a big Batman fan, you probably have enjoyed it more.
Definitely. And I went in with that kind of idea that I probably would enjoy it more than Lego Movie. I enjoyed the Lego Movie. I probably need to see it again. I've only seen it once. But for me, Lego Batman was more enjoyable, purely because I'm a Batman fan, I guess.
Well, maybe because I was a huge fan of Lego Space. So Benny the Spaceman.
Yeah,
in Lego Movie was the best thing ever.
Yeah,
and of course, like obviously the other thing that was great about the Lego Movie was it had a wider range of franchises.
Yeah,
it could.
But there were more franchises in Lego Batman than I expected. I didn't expect to see other Lego, other franchises. Rather, I didn't expect to see Harry Potter or Gremlins.
Well, when I saw Harry Potter and I saw Gremlins appear, then it just suddenly thought, well, now this is just a checklist of Warner Bros. Properties, which again is a checklist of Lego Dimensions these days. So, it was fun to see them. I really want to know if that is Clash of the Titans, though.
Yeah, thanks to the wonders of Google, just double check it. Definitely was Clash of the Titans Kraken. I forgot Medusa was in it as well. Bruce the Shark, apparently that's like Jaws. Creature from the Black Lagoon, I think, was in it.
Agent Smith.
Oh, yeah.
From Matrix.
Yeah. There's loads. That's the thing. It's one of those films where it was just so relentless of things they were throwing at you, which I kind of like. Because like, you see a lot of comedy movies, generally, you'll have a few choice gags, and they're the ones that end up in the trailer. And once you watch the movie, you're like, well, I've seen the best bits. With this, like the first like 15 minutes, I was like, oh, my God, this is like so much is happening. And it's, joke after joke, and it's...
It must have been an exhausting film to make.
Yeah.
That must have had about 100 script writers on it.
Yeah.
Just shoehorning gags in.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's possibly another thing that I found not quite as good as it. It probably was made by a committee and had everything thrown in it. Whereas I think the Lego Movie probably had a bit more of a streamlined, here's a vision of the story we want to tell. And
it's interesting you say that, because like, considering it's a Warner Brothers movie, and we were saying earlier on the show, talking about Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, how it felt there were movies done by committee where it just felt they were just doing too much. but they didn't have a cohesive story. Like, Lego Batman still had a cohesive story for my liking. And yeah, there was loads of stuff in there, and you're probably right, there was probably a committee trying to go, we need to reference these products. But to me, it didn't feel cynical in that sense.
No, I don't think it felt cynical. If it felt cynical, I would have come out going, yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah,
I mean, I came out thinking, yeah, that was great, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. But anyway, we're adults. What do we know?
Exactly.
It's a film for kids, which leads me on.
Well, it's funny you should say that. aren't all comic books for kids?
Oh, every time you call it, you always say that. I just try to brush it off. So ignoring that disparaging comment, we got you to put your son on the spot.
Yes.
So Lucas is our resident Lego expert. In fact, he's our only Lego expert. Sorry, Neil. I know you probably think you are, but... So you sat down with him.
Yep.
And you asked him a few questions about Lego Batman movie.
I teased some answers out of him.
Yeah. So we're going to present to you the edited version because the poor lad was a bit under pressure on this one.
Yep.
And his mum interrupted halfway through. Outrageous. Outrageous. So here we go. Here's Lucas with some coaching from you on what you thought about Lego Batman movie.
Okay, Lucas. Tell me what we went to see the other day.
The Lego Batman movie.
Okay, and what was it like?
There's quite a lot of action in it.
Yeah, do you like Batman?
Yes.
Do you like Lego?
Yes.
Do you like Lego Batman?
Yeah.
What was the best bit about the Lego Batman film?
When Batman went to fight the Joker and his criminals.
Who was the best baddie in it?
Voldemort.
So did you like it when they had the other characters in it? Voldemort, were there any other characters you really liked?
Joker.
What about Robin and Batgirl?
Yeah.
Were they as good as Batman?
No.
Well, what sort of things did Batman do in the film?
He worked together at the end when he went to fight Joker.
When you say work together, why? Was he not a very friendly person?
No. Well, he worked in the night and didn't like to work for anybody else.
Really? Do you think that's what Batman's like?
Yeah.
A bit miserable?
Yeah.
Do you think Batman's a good superhero?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think he's your favourite superhero?
No.
Who's your favourite superhero?
Iron Man.
Okay, so if it was a Lego Iron Man movie, would that be better?
Yeah.
Even though in Lego Batman, what does he say? What's the password?
Iron Man sucks.
Does that make you laugh?
Yeah.
Which one was better, Lego Batman, or Lego Movie Batman?
Lego Movie Batman.
Why was Lego Movie Batman better?
You could actually see him in action in a film or a movie.
Did he do more in a Lego movie, do you think?
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't the main character?
Yeah.
Okay. Which would you say is better, Lego Batman or the Lego movie?
Lego Batman.
You thought Lego Batman was better? Why do you think Lego Batman was better?
Because there was more action in it and they had to fight lots of different villains from different films.
Okay, right, let's finish up then. If you had to describe the Lego Batman movie in three words, what words would you use? Isn't a word, you can't use that.
Awesome, cool, and...
Awesome, cool, and... Is and your third word?
No.
Wicked?
Yeah.
Awesome, cool, and wicked. There you go, that's the Lego Batman movie.
So there you go. Thanks very much, Lucas. I thought he was quite, you know, obviously we edited him down a bit, but I thought he was pretty on the nose. He knows what he likes, knows what he doesn't like.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have any cue cards, and I didn't nudge him towards any of those answers.
Yeah.
Much.
Didn't threaten him or anything like that. That's it, yeah. Oh, thanks for doing that. So, yeah, probably get him on again for something, I don't know, suitable, like...
Logan 2.
Logan 2. Get his take on that. So there you go. That's Lego Batman. I would give it 5 out of 5, I think. I absolutely really, really enjoyed it. More than I thought I would.
5 out of 5?
Yeah, easy. Easy.
Wow, if I had to give it a score out of 5, I don't know if I would... I'd give it a 5 out of 5.
Don't feel any pressure to.
But I think I'd give 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's good. Well, thanks for coming back, Mark. We'll have to get you in again. I mean, I know the next movie you're excited about is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Which I think is May, but we'll probably try and find an excuse to get on again before then.
There must be some kind of film stroke media product.
Well, you were saying before we started recording this episode that you were kind of intrigued by Iron Fist.
Yes.
And you haven't seen any of the other Marvel flicks. So maybe that could be something.
I could do that. I'm not going to be confused by not seeing any of the other TV shows.
Actually, you probably will be. I think you should start with Daredevil Season 1, on to Jessica Jones, and then look on Wikipedia for the summaries of Daredevil Season 2 and Luke Cage. Spare yourself that.
Fair enough.
So that's the end of another episode of BAM. Thanks for listening. Please check us out on our Tumblr, Twitter and Facebook page. You can find those quite easily under BAM Comics Cast. Please like, review and subscribe on iTunes. That really helps. And we're still doing our promotion where if you do write us a review on iTunes and let us know about it, we will send you free comics. We are still raiding my stash. There are still comics that need to go out to people. So please give us a review. It really helps. And that's about it. So you can follow us individually on Twitter. You can follow me under Stunami. You can follow Neil under Neil Galtz. Carly under C Moxinator. And where can they follow you, Mark?
At Mark is Skill.
Still good. That's it. Thanks for listening and see you soon. Bye.